I'm Jacob Tender.
I'm Mike Amate.
And this is Bantha Fodder. Welcome back to Bantha Fodder. This is episode 14, and we are recording on November 3rd, 2016. As of today, we are just 42 days away from the release of Lucasfilm's first ever Star Wars standalone movie, Rogue One, which follows a team of rebels set forth on a mission to retrieve the Death Star plans that set episode 4 into motion. 2 years from now, after episode 8 has had its time on the silver screen, a second standalone movie will have its turn. This one will follow a young Han Solo played by Alden Ehrenreich.
This movie is going to be written by Lawrence and John Kasdan. Lawrence was the writer of Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and The Force Awakens. John is his son. He actually did a WTF with Marc Maron a couple months ago, I think. Together, and with the help of directors Christopher Miller and Phil Lord, the minds behind the Lego movie, and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, we're going to produce such a great animated classic like this Han Solo movie, you know?
So not much is known about this movie just yet, but news outlets everywhere lately have been circulating the story of young Lando Calrissian's casting. Of course, we know that Lando was the previous owner of the Millennium Falcon, the prize-smuggling Corellian cruiser that Solo and his first mate Chewbacca fly around the galaxy in the original trilogy. But apart from Han winning it, fair and square, from the smooth-talking cape wear, there's backstory left to tell. To bring some context to the tale, Donald Glover has taken up the role.
Childish Gambino.
Bantha Fodder, 2016. Let's get it. All right, Landino is a mastermind. Fly a ship to Pasatine. Me and Numba by my side. My capes are flowing. Point of pride. The steel is getting worse. That's why I sold your ass to Vader. But you're going off to Jabba, so I guess I'll see you later. Yeah, Landino, make you work. I'm the boss, man, at Bespin. Yeah, this mustache really suits me. Swag already built in. Love by acting crazy when his charge is all gone. I'm not down with occupation. Get your ship and get gone. This deal is a disaster. Boba Fett is straight whack. Empire wants to mess with me. I'll have to hit him right. First I'll have to rescue, cause the princess, she's a hatin'. I am flying your ship, you were just a decoration. Leave it with your girl when we last seen each other. Now I'm dressing up a funny just to skip out undercover. Homie thought out blind, just in time for doing seas. The Solid might be scary, but hand aim higher, please. Death Star in my sights, bro, what do y'all think? Get that shield down quick, or this trench room's gonna stink. If I am just a smuggling man, you could've fooled me. I'm a general, I'm a spy, man, these ladies love me.
Boy, okay. I can accept that. along with Ehrenreich, Donald Glover is the only other cast member that's confirmed at this point. Today, we're going to be talking about the movie, what we know so far, and what we're kind of expecting from the whole thing, if we're expecting anything at all. You know?
Yeah. Let's start with the directors. So the directors for this movie are Christopher Miller and Phil Lord. Now, these two guys work together quite frequently. I'd say that they're a duo. And together they made The Lego Movie and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. These are two animated movies. They're very popular, mind you, but they were two animated movies specifically made for children. So how the hell did they get this job?
I think it's in their ability to create a movie for children that is super accessible to adults too. I mean, I don't know a single adult that watched the Lego movie and didn't enjoy it, you know?
Yeah. I love the Lego movie. I thought it was really great, but I think it's interesting that they're on this movie. I'd say that the most adult movie that they've worked on together so far are the 21 and 22 Jump Street movies, but still comedies.
I mean, those are fairly adult flicks though. You know, I mean, a man eats his own genitalia. Let's be real here for a second.
Sure. I just think it's weird. The movies that they make are funny, but how is that going to play into this movie? I think maybe I'm looking at it from the perspective of what I expect to see in Rogue One, you know, something a little, you know, more serious, more maybe more gritty. And while I don't think that a Han Solo movie has to be like serious or gritty, I think it's going to be weird to see a movie made by these two guys that primarily work in the realm of comedy.
I don't know. I think ever since Guardians of the Galaxy, we're getting like a new, maybe just all Marvel movies in general, but specifically Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, that Chris Pratt character is just kind of, I think, like a prototypical Han Solo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit more of a wisecracker, I guess, than Han Solo, but I think that ever since Guardians, we're kind of looking at like a new landscape for action. Like, I mean, even with the new Star Trek films, we're getting kind of this more comedic, edgy, you know, take on sci-fi, you know, not something that is mirrored in Rogue One, I think. I think Rogue One is going to be tonally different from all those films, but mm-hmm. I think Guardians definitely laid a new foundation for how we're going to be steering sci-fi movies, you know, like major studio sci-fi movies.
Well, we'll see. I like these guys. They're working on the Lego Movie sequel, and that one is going to be directed by Rob Schraub, who I absolutely love. Anybody who listens to the Harmontown podcast might be familiar with that guy. He's a character. But Ehrenreich. He's Han Solo.
He's a human. He's a human being.
I get the feeling that you're not too keen on this casting.
I mean, as with everything we've literally ever discussed in this show, I'm a little skeptical of everything. But no, I honestly, before we started recording, we were talking about, you know, the castings for the original Han Solo part. And mm-hmm. when we talk about like who could have been, we're kind of saying like, oh, who would have worked as Han Solo? And because we always right. say like, oh, no one could do Han Solo except for Harrison Ford. But I mean, the YouTube video you linked to me, which I think we should toss in the show notes just for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, is the Kurt Russell audition tape for Star. And I like Kurt Russell. I think he would have been great as a Han Solo. Like, I mean, if we lived in a universe or a dimension where there was no Harrison Ford, I would happily have taken Kurt Russell.
I would have definitely taken him over Christopher Walken, who also auditioned for the role.
But can you picture it? Like, oh man, if I would never attempt a Chris Walken impression on this show, or probably in life in general, but I can, that's like, that's an improv comics, like, just dream come true, is a Chris Walken in Star Wars. You know, that's a setup right there.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Oh, you had to go for the impression, man. Oh God. I'm not editing that out.
You can leave it.
The reason I bring up the past auditions for Han Solo is the fact that somebody else definitely can play Han Solo. It's you can't mm-hmm. say like no one else can play Han Solo except for Harrison Ford.
Okay.
And you know, based on what we saw in, you know, Episode 7, I'm all for casting relative unknowns. I mean, Ehrenreich is not by any means an unknown. But he's certainly, I mean, his first film credit is 2008, which, mm-hmm. which, you know, I mean, for his age, I guess that's something we can expect. But, you know, I think your knee jerk reaction when you're thinking about casting a Star Wars film is to be like, well, who can we put in this that is going to make a big splash? And Alden Ehrenreich is definitely not someone I would have picked as a big name.
Is that more important though, to make a big splash or to make a lasting impression? Like somebody that can, you know,
well, I said,
really give it to the role.
I said knee jerk. I didn't say it's that's like saying, I think Daisy Ridley was a fantastic choice for Rey. I would have taken, I mean, you know, I can't say what I would take cause I don't have that say, but yeah, mm-hmm. I think the casting in Episode 7 was fantastic and I wouldn't have asked for it any other way. You know, I don't think it would have benefited from any star power. But like, that's just not who I would have thought. Like if Chris Pratt was not Star-Lord already, I would have been mm-hmm. Chris Pratt would have been a shoo-in for Harrison Ford, you know, for Han Solo.
I think a lot of people were calling for that.
Yeah. Nonsensically. So calling for that, you know, like he can't be Star-Lord and he can't be Han Solo. Although, what's his name has been, Chris Evans has been Captain mm-hmm. America, and he's also been the Human Torch, and then you have
I mean, you've got, I mean, that's the same thing with like Ryan Reynolds. You know, he's, how many characters has he played in the various superhero
Blade, Deadpool, so Green Lantern.
He was not Blade.
He was in Blade, just to be clear.
He was in Blade. He was Green Lantern. He played Deadpool twice in two different ways.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So I don't know. Personally, I've not seen any Aaron Reich's movies. From what I'm told by people who I respect in the film community, he is a very good actor. I don't know anything about that. I should probably do some homework and watch some of those movies here in the next couple months. But I think he looks like he could be good for the part. I mean, he's a good looking kid. He's got a very, like you said, James Dean sort of vibe. And I think the looks do matter. I think anybody who can sort of pull off the personality of Han Solo is probably the most important. That's, it's probably what the casting directors were looking for primarily. But, it's always a bonus when you can find somebody that has similar features. And when you look at this guy in photos on Google and you see him doing like a little smirky smile, you see the jawline that he has, I think it's pretty easy to see him in the vest and the boots. You can see him as Han Solo. So I'm interested in seeing how that performance is going to work out. I don't think that he needs to be Harrison Ford. I think that he just needs to be a young Han Solo. And I hope that he can pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, put a wig on anybody and you can make him Han Solo. I mean, I can see Bill Hader as Han Solo if you put the right outfit on him. maybe a little tall, but
Conan did a really funny videos, like casting videos for Han Solo. And like, I think Melissa McCarthy was in there and like 50 Cent might have even been in there. It's just a ton of people. I think Jeff Goldblum, actually, that would be really funny. Imagine Jeff Goldblum as Han Solo. Maybe not a young one, but that would have been a good role.
Must go faster.
So Aaron Reich is definitely going to be in this new Han Solo movie, but it's been reported that he actually signed a 3-movie deal with Lucasfilm. So I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if that means that he's going to be the new Indiana Jones also, or if he's lined up to play in 2 more Star Wars movies.
The new Indiana Jones, you think? That would just be
that could be something.
Making him like a stand-in for Harrison Ford, Like
Right. I don't think that's actually happened. Nobody's ever said that. I just, you got to think about what movies they're going to do.
We could do him in a Fugitive remake too by that,
Oh yeah, he's in the new Blade Runner.
I didn't kill my wife. Wait, who would play Tommy Lee Jones in the Fugitive remake?
Oh.
Ryan Reynolds. Why not? We're throwing his name around enough. Let's. I don't care. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, may as well. But you got to think about what are these 3 movies. I mean, if this is true, and he's actually going to be in 3 Lucasfilm produced movies, and let's just assume that all of them are Star Wars movies, does this mean that they're going to make a trilogy from this spinoff that they haven't even completed yet, or is he going to be tied in to other movies? I mean, let's think about this. Last week we talked about Grand Moff Tarkin possibly appearing in Rogue One. That kind of makes sense. It fits the timeline. Now, this is a timeline in which Han Solo could also possibly appear. Now, granted, this movie should be following like the Rebels at the time, a growing rebellion. And at this point, Han Solo has nothing to do with the rebellion as far as we're aware. That said, Aaron Reich was cast for the role really early on. He was the first name that was attached to it, apart from those writing and directing. So, is it possible that we're going to see Aaron Reich as Han Solo in Rogue One?
No.
You don't think so?
No. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Alden Reich was attached to the movie early on because I think a stipulation for making a Han Solo movie is that you need to have someone that can play Han Solo. And while there's the idea that, yeah, you definitely like anybody can play Han Solo, we'll find someone to play Han Solo. We'll like, even if we have to cast a relative unknown, mm-hmm. I think attaching a name to Han Solo is key to getting anybody to back it and say like, we can make this movie work. I mean, if it says Star Wars on it, you're going to probably make back your budget anyway, but
yeah,
I think it makes sense that they put Alden Reich on pretty early on.
But why would you sign him for a 3-movie deal? I think that's the bigger question here.
I think that's what everybody does now. I mean, how many Iron Mans did Robert Downey Jr. have to sign on for at the outset? You know, I can't imagine he had any less than 3 in his first contract. You know, despite the fact that like they had not, you know, really blasted off the Marvel Cinematic Universe the same way that we see it now. I can't imagine they didn't foresee it becoming huge.
Yeah, I think that's one thing, though. I think to have somebody cast as a superhero and, you know, in a culture where superhero sequels is a thing. I mean, maybe the Marvel Universe wasn't as big in Hollywood at that point, but there was precedent set, you know, with the Spider-Man movies and Batman movies, Superman movies over the years. I think having that option open in a contract would be smart and be beneficial, but I think you could like see why that would be coming. However, with somebody that's playing with a young Han Solo, what's happening there? I mean, this is, we're now in a spot where Han Solo dies in episode 7. We know that happens. Like, we know the end of his story. We don't know the beginning of his story, and we don't know how many stories are yet to tell within the time span that we've not seen before. So the stuff that's not in the OT, stuff that's not in the comics, you know, what stories are left to tell with somebody that can accurately play a young Han Solo? So they found the guy, but what stories do they have left to tell?
Well, I think that's the point. They have plenty of stories left to tell. I mean, they're just going to make them up. They're going to write them. I mean, we're living in a time now where they're scheduling Marvel flicks. I hate to keep coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but like that's probably the best parallel I have to the Star Wars universe right now. I mean, they're owned by the same company, so they might just be parallel. But yeah, what I mean is that like they're planning these movies out 10 years in advance. You know, like we have the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We knew about Doctor Strange years ago. We knew about the Infinity War, which has not. What's that? 2018 is the Infinity War.
I'm amazed that's coming so soon.
Yeah, it's gonna. That's why they're signing him for 3 movies, because like they're going to make these movies. They're all going to make a lot of money. And like, I mean, even like the worst Transformers movie, I feel like makes tons of money. So there's no gamble here. It's a Star Wars film, and they'll write the stories if they have to, and they'll make it work. But I mean, this kind of segues pretty well into another section that we were planning on talking about, which is, you know, what is the content of this movie? Not to jump too far out of our plan here, but I mean, based on the comic book series that we're looking at now, we have some possibilities, you know, for stories. We don't know specifics because we don't know timelines, but, you know, as far as characters that are going to show up, I mean, you mentioned the Millennium Falcon, you mentioned Chewbacca, you mentioned Lando Calrissian, I think. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that already. Yeah. And you mentioned Sana Solo.
Right. So, Sana Solo. There are a lot of rumors out for this movie. Obviously, who knows where any of this is actually coming from. But the rumor states that Disney Lucasfilm are specifically looking to cast a non-Caucasian female for a role in this Han Solo movie. So you can draw endless conclusions from that. But what I immediately thought was Sana Steros, the woman from the comics that came into the series proclaiming that she was Han Solo's wife. Now, of course, you have to read the comics to know that whole story. That's not something I think we should probably spoil here. But I think that this is going to happen. I think that it makes sense. I think you need to have a female opposite Han Solo. I think part of Han Solo is his charm, you know, the way that he can, you know, swindle people, but also the way that he can sort of influence the minds of, say, a pretty young lady. So the people that are up for this role so far, or the ones that have been announced as auditioning, are Tessa Thompson, who you may know from the movie Creed. There's Zoe Kravitz from Mad Max Fury Road, and Naomi Scott. Now, Naomi Scott is actually a super talented singer. I have a link in the show notes so people can check that out. But these are all, you know, very beautiful non-Caucasian women that are auditioning for a role in a Han Solo movie. To me, the only conclusion that you can really draw from what we know of Han Solo's story so far is that she'll be playing Sana Solo Steros.
I think that would be, you know, like a good story to kind of set the scene. You know, like him and I don't know. I don't want to ruin what happens with him and Sana, but you know, you know, she comes back. You know, like if you're a reader of the comic, she re-enters in the time after episode 4 and before mm-hmm. episode 5. So, you know, you're gonna know the end. I mean, we don't know exactly what happened, but you will know that, you know, she's alive at the end of whatever feature she's in, and will appear in a comic later on. You know,
I think that could happen. I think she might, maybe she'll resurface in the movie. You know, maybe she'll show up here, and it'll tell part of the story where, in, you know, Han originally rips her off. That's part of the storyline in the comics. It's part of Han Solo's ongoing narrative, is ripping people off all around the galaxy. So I think that this movie, you know, with maybe a storyline about that, and then possibly adding in the story regarding him taking the Millennium Falcon from Lando, I think this entire movie could just be about Han Solo ripping people off all across the galaxy.
Right. I mean, I envision like a stinger at the end of the like post credits that involves Chewbacca somehow, and then maybe the second Han Solo movie that Ehrenreich signed on for is going to be like a Chewbacca thing.
You don't think that Chewbacca is going to be in this one?
No, I think, I mean, you said it, you know, like he signed on for 3 movies. Why, you know, spill everything out in the first one? You know, they got plenty of time to tell Han Solo's story. So, you know, started off slow with some like really like uncovered ground, you know, with Sana Solo, give us something we've never seen before. Like the principle behind Jen Erso, you know, in Rogue One, you know, we don't know anything about this character. So somebody new, to us. And along with, I think most of the other characters in that. But just, you know, give us a new story, someone like world build, essentially. I mean, we know this Star Wars universe, we know what's going on in it, but we don't know anything about Han Solo prior to that cantina run, besides, you know, his interaction with Lando. And I mean, is the life debt even really mentioned in Star Wars?
Like the life debt that Chewbacca has?
Yeah, like their relationship is just, they're just friends, you know, that's all, they're just traveling companions, and that's really all we got from that.
Yeah, so, as far as Chewbacca's story goes, I think there's a gigantic hole between the part where Ahsoka helps free Chewbacca, and then where he, you know, he just becomes the co-pilot of Captain Han Solo. I don't think any of that story is like really explained.
The Ahsoka reference you're making is to a Clone Wars, I think end of season 3, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in the Clone Wars.
That was very interesting, because I took it as like a huge fan service moment in that cartoon, but at the same time, I was really pleased with it. You know, like I wasn't disgusted by just like the kind of just tossing in Star Wars characters for the sake of, like, I thought it was it functioned really well.
Well, it makes sense because Chewbacca shows up later, like in the Clone Wars, to
exactly,
literally lead the forces on Kashyyyk. So I think it actually made sense. It brought Chewbacca into the bigger, like, I guess, into the Skywalker narrative in a very natural way. It's like, how did Chewbacca, you know, how did he meet the Jedi? Like, why is he so tight with Yoda? I think that really kind of brought things together in that respect.
So, hypothetically speaking, this Han Solo, like Chewbacca is going to be, this is happening after episode 3. Has Chewbacca been featured in Rebels at all?
I don't think so. Here are my thoughts on Chewbacca as far as this movie goes, because I think it would be really cool to have like more of a Chewbacca story, you know, somewhere later on that isn't the holiday special. But imagine in this first one that Han and Lando are still buddies. Imagine that Han takes the Falcon in, you know, whatever betting match or challenge there was. I feel that Chewbacca would have to be present for that, because Lando seemed to know Chewbacca.
Ah, yeah.
So if the last time he saw Han was when he took the ship, I feel like Chewbacca would have had to have been there. So if this is like if this is showing Han and Lando together, I feel like Chewbacca has to be in the movie.
Not necessarily. I mean, Han and Lando could have just been rolling together for a while before this happened. Mm. You read the Lando comics?
Not all of them, but what I've read, I liked.
It's pre-Bespin. It's before he became the proprietor of Cloud City. Is that
Yeah, but he's true? Still hanging out with Lobot.
Yes. Well, it's like kind of Lobot's origin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool. Like, you didn't expect, like, Lobot to be around that long. He was just kind of like a, you know, a servant dude working on Bespin, is what he thought.
I love that backstory. Yeah. Like, that kind of, like, essentially an origin story. You know, like, we don't go that far back, but we do see how he goes, how he becomes that kind of, like, android-like person that's in Empire when Lando hits him up on whatever radio frequency. And he just kind of opens his eyes and, like, starts doing stuff. But the reason I brought the comic up is, you know, because that is pre-Cloud City. That's, and it seems like it's post losing the Falcon, right? Because he is not flying the Falcon in that. So, yeah, man, this is going to be some, like, crafty, like...
You're saying in the comic, Lando doesn't have the Falcon anymore. At that point, it's already gone?
I believe so. I don't remember him flying the Falcon in that.
Okay. How far in advance did that take place to where we saw Lando in the films?
It's right before he kind of is right. I mean, I have no idea year-wise or like timeline-wise, but it's prior to him becoming like deciding he's going to run the straight and narrow and become like mayor of Cloud City or whatever he is.
Okay, so the events of the Lando comic take place in year 32 or 33, and it looks like Han Solo... The Marvel miniseries takes place in those years as well. So both of those series take place exactly 1 year after the events of A New Hope. So this is before we see Lando on screen, but well after he and Han have run into each other. So at this point, yes, Han Solo has the Falcon. Lando does not.
I forget why I was bringing in the comic, but just kind of to say that... they could have been rolling together for a while. Yeah. And I mean, presumably he's met Chewbacca at that point, right?
I feel that he definitely recognized Chewbacca. I think he even greeted Chewbacca in the film. It's apparent that he knows Chewbacca. And I think if the last time he saw Han Solo, Chewbacca was with him. And if the last time he saw Han Solo, he had lost control of the Falcon. I feel like Chewbacca has to be in this movie. I feel like that's the only way it really makes sense. And I don't see why he wouldn't be. They haven't like shown a casting for that, of course, because at this point it doesn't really matter who plays Chewbacca. I'm sure they'll probably get the guy who played Chewbacca as like the, you know, like the stunt guy did a lot of the scenes that Peter Mayhew wasn't able to do in The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see why that would be much of an issue. I think they can pretty much simulate his voice at this point. So, I think it's going to happen, but as far as like subsequent movies go, I think it would be cool to have one that's more focused around Chewbacca and like maybe the story about Kashyyyk. Maybe this is like a tie-in that maybe got hinted to in Aftermath.
I feel like it would be weird to not devote an entire film to Chewbacca and Han's relationship.
Hmm.
I mean, like, you could just write off the life debt as, like, a thing that happens. Like, Han Solo saves Chewbacca from something in this Han Solo movie. And then it's like, well, you're a part of my crew now. Kind of like the way they bring all the Guardians of the Galaxy together. You know, like, assemble the team, you know?
Right.
But I feel like they're going to want to make that relationship so much deeper. You know, like, that life debt has to be something real. And I feel like they're going to need to spend, like, at least an hour and a half developing this relationship, you know?
Wouldn't it make sense, then, to do that as the first movie?
No, not if they're going to bring... I mean, we're just speaking as if we know what's going on in the first movie that Sana Solo's in it. But,
right.
But no, I mean, I say save Chewie. I say save Chewie for... later event, toss him in as a stinger or something like that, you know, or like say like Han's at the end of it, he's like, all right, we're going to Kashyyyk, like, oh, we have to make like a smuggling run past Kashyyyk, and then like they just do an end of Star Trek scene, like, all right, set coordinates for whatever, you know, it's stupid. I think they should pace this Han Solo thing, you know, if they got three movies to do it in, then, you know, They don't have to
take their time.
Yeah, take the time.
Well, we'll see. But as far as Lando goes, we haven't even talked about Lando. Donald Glover has taken the role of Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, and this was announced last week, so this probably makes this the most time... This is the timeliest we've ever been in discussing any Star Wars news, even though we're, I think, at probably going to be 2 weeks late when this comes out.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good to be on time sometimes. So, yeah, this was announced about a week or so ago, and, you know, there was an announcement on Entertainment Weekly and on StarWars.com, so... There was one quote I think is really cool. It was by Lord and Miller. They said, "We are so lucky to have an artist as talented as Donald join us. These are big shoes to fill and an even bigger cape, and this one fits him perfectly, which will save us money on alterations." Also, we'd like to publicly apologize to Donald for ruining Comic-Con for him forever, which is a great...
What is that a reference to?
It's not really a reference. I mean, if anything, it's a reference just to Donald. Like, I mean, he's a huge dork. Like, he's in Community. He was a dork in Community. He's a dork in real life. Like, he's a nerd in every sense of the word. He's like a super talented nerd that can write comedy, that can write dramas, that can, you know, create very, I guess, thought-provoking rap music.
When they say ruining Comic-Con, that's kind of my curiosity. It's like, what is that, because he's never going to be able to like attend Comic-Con as a fan again? Or
right, I think that's the idea. I think that's right. What they're trying to get at there. Right. I mean, I don't know if you could beforehand, because I think just about everybody who goes to Comic-Con is probably seeing Community. But mm-hmm. You know, I get that. That's kind of a funny thing. You can't just go to Comic-Con to enjoy Star Wars and all the other nerdy stuff that he tends to enjoy. Like, I know he's a big fan of Spider-Man. He's also going to be in a Spider-Man movie, so I think if this didn't ruin it for him, that probably would.
Wait, Glover's cast in a Spider-Man flick?
Yes, he's not Spider-Man. You know, the campaign from a couple years ago didn't happen. That didn't work out, but
that's a shame.
He is going to be in the new Spider-Man
movie. The Homecoming?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming. It's like a WB like evening special right after Smallville.
Oh no, it's the new Spider-Man
movie. I'm kidding. Oh. But it is absolutely called Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, that's terrible. I don't know, but he's in that movie after a long time about talking about, you know, his fandom and stuff. So he's in Star Wars, he's in Spider-Man, he's all over the place.
Cool.
Yeah.
What did Glover have to say about it?
Well, he's like, it's neat. Like, obviously, like, he was stoked about it. The first guy he called was his dad, told his dad about it, because a long time ago, he said the first toy that his father bought him was a Lando action figure, which is really cool. You know, I like the idea of that, because, I mean, they're just kind of like, it sets up one of those really nice stories that you can pitch alongside of a movie. Obviously, it's nice if you get somebody who's aware of the franchise and doesn't have to do, like, extended research to figure out the role. But I think it's always a bonus when you get somebody that grew up seeing the person that he's playing as like an idol of sorts.
Yeah, you mentioned this earlier about like fan casting, you know?
Yeah.
Bring someone in who's like a huge fan of the series. I mean, are there any other cast members? I mean, I remember like Samuel Jackson obviously is a kind of a famous fan casting moment.
Yeah.
He more like cast himself. He like kind of demanded to be in that from what I understand.
You don't turn down Samuel L. Jackson.
No, you don't. You definitely don't.
But John Boyega is also like a huge fan. Like he's always been a huge Star Wars nut. And like there are a lot of hilarious videos on the Star Wars YouTube page where he carries around like bags of Star Wars merchandise to have signed by people like on the cast. Like he would, you know, he brought like a Han Solo toy to have Harrison Ford sign and everything. Like, you know, he's a big dork, and Donald Glover is no different. You know, his first toy is Lando. He's a longtime fan. His mom told him not to screw it up because she's a huge Billy Dee Williams fan.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And then someone dug up this awesome photograph of Donald Glover from a yearbook wherein he is wearing a Star Wars t-shirt. So, you know, it just kind of like really sets it up. I mean, how neat is that? I never wore a Star Wars t-shirt in any of my school photos. My mom would have killed me if I wasn't wearing a polo, but... You know, and just imagine, like, put yourself in that position. Like, you're a huge fan of something, not, you know, maybe not Star Wars, maybe not a superhero movie, but you're a huge fan of something enough that you're willing to wear t-shirts, graphic tees that, you know, show your love to anybody on the street. And then one day you get to be one of those characters in one of those films. Like, how awesome is that? Like, he's just got to feel so great about that.
That's probably the only, like, positive you get out of the whole, I mean, besides some cool new looks at old topics, but like the whole way Hollywood is now with the reboots and the sequels and the bringing, like just bringing back stories from ages ago, you know, like, I guess that's the benefit, is that you get to give a lot of opportunities to people who grew up with source material.
Yeah. I mean, the people that are in these movies have grown up enjoying the comics and enjoying the movies, because you're right, like they're just remaking just about everything now. So
that's a silver lining on the state of Hollywood.
Yeah. I like it. I'm stoked for it. I mean, do we think that Lando's going to have a big role? I mean, we've talked about this already, but do we think that Lando is going to have a prominent role in this movie, or is he just going to be like a side character with maybe a few scenes?
Can you imagine if they've made such a big like announcement about this and cast such, I mean, arguably I think Donald Glover is more high profile than Alden Ehrenreich, but like to make such a huge deal out of this casting and then portray him as just like the same as the what was the alien, like the Greek diner alien that Obi-Wan visits in episode 3 or something like that.
Yeah, Dex.
That's gonna be Donald Glover in this. He's just gonna stop in for 2 seconds in a cantina, meet up with Donald Glover, and that's it. That's the end of his role. Just two, like 3 or 4 lines. You got to go to this system. Cool. See you next film.
That's funny.
Kind of like, I mean, I feel like Terrence Howard in the first Iron Man movie was like kind of, you know, when he looks over at the War Machine outfit and he just like, next time, you know, but did not turn out to be next time for him. But that's like kind of maybe what we'll see Donald Glover go in this, you know. But again, it would be so silly to make such a huge deal out of this casting and bring such a huge name in and then not use him to his fullest in this film.
Yeah, that's why I feel like he has to have a major role. I think that's what really like is throwing off exactly like what Chewbacca's role in this is going to be, like how that's going to work out. There's still so many questions, and we're still well over a year out from this. I mean, they haven't announced two years out. They haven't announced a date for this, but I mean, if it follows the trend, it should be out sometime around November or December of 2018, pending any setbacks. So
this is going to be Lethal Weapon, I feel like. Do you think it's just going to be Lethal Weapon?
Oh my gosh, I hope not.
Wait, why? Lethal Weapon? It's a great film.
Yeah, no, they're redoing. You are aware they're redoing Lethal Weapon on TV right now with Damon Wayans, right?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah. No need.
This is Star Wars Lethal Weapon.
Oh, Yvay. Well, are you excited for the movie?
I would love to see a buddy Star Wars flick, you know, just like a buddy cops in space, except they're buddy smugglers, just turning tricks and screwing people over in outer space.
I mean, that could be this. I mean, who knows? I hope not. But then again, it is being directed by Lord and Miller, so who knows?
Yeah, I expect a fast-paced, witty comedy action thing, and like if it's just it's Guardians of the Galaxy, but I'm cool with it, you know.
Yeah, I still feel like I'm too sided on the whole thing, because I like the idea of them expanding the universe, not just as far as stories go, but as far as tone and delivery. You know, I like the idea of a Star Wars comedy. I like the idea of a Star Wars war flick. But at the same time, I feel like as a fan, that's okay. But I feel like if I were just like a general, you know, pop culture fiend, you know, somebody that doesn't love Star Wars, but will see them, or, you know, like I feel like a lot of Star Wars films aren't like their success isn't based just on the fans. It's based on the fans and everyone, because no one's going to not see a Star Wars film, even if they're not a big fan. So I don't know, when it comes to something like a buddy comedy, like I feel like that could be blown out of proportion. And I feel like from a pop culture standpoint, it would put this negative connotation on the Star Wars franchise, because people would look at it as something lesser, something that's just like half baked or stupid. What I mean? Like I don't want something that's different to change the way that future Star Wars movies are produced.
I think there's really no telling at this point on what's going to happen, you know, and how they're going to produce it. I would love to see some production stills over the course of the next year or so. And kind of then I feel like I'll be more able to assess at that point. But I mean, we don't even have like any promo shots. They're just casting at this point. So
yeah,
maybe when we see the set design, maybe when we, you know, get any comment from a cast or crew member, you know, on how things are going, we'll be able to say like, oh, okay, so the tone of this movie will match Guardians of the Galaxy or Star Trek or mm-hmm. Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon's great, man. Riggs is crazy.
Yeah. It's fine. But Damon Wayans,
that's not Lethal Weapon to me right now. We're not talking about that.
So we got Donald Glover, we got Alden Ehrenreich. Aaron Gruben.
Grubenflavor.
We've got two people cast for the movie. We have a possible third lead as a female being cast hopefully soon. That's really all we know. Like, we've gone almost an hour on virtually no information, but overall, I think this could be an interesting movie, especially if they go in a different direction, something that's, you know, more down what Miller and Lord have done in the past. I think if any of their movies so far kind of give an indication of what it could be, it just might be 21 Jump Street. And not to say that I think that they're only limited to remaking that within the Star Wars universe, but I feel like there's going to be some of that faster paced, lighthearted sort of, you know, dumb buddy comedy feeling to that. I don't think it'll be stupid. Like, I think they'd have a hard, it'd be a hard sell to the producers to make a Star Wars flick that's, you know, like 21 Jump Street. But who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I think like 21 Jump Street, the premise, like the two leads are just so dumb and like and everything that happens is so unrealistic that, I mean, aside from being set in a science fiction universe, I feel like they're going to want to try and keep these characters consistent with what they ended up being, you know, mm-hmm. so... yeah, I don't foresee it being like as ridiculous in its humor as 21 Jump Street, but I definitely see it as like fast paced and cut in the same way.
Yeah. Well, that's all I've got on this one. Do you have any other final notes?
Nah, probably not till next year. So see you then.
Yeah. So you can find the notes for this one. There's going to be a lot of links just to various rumors and casting and you know, some of the fun stuff like that Kurt Russell audition. If I can dig up the one with Christopher Walken, I'll put that in there too, but I'm not sure that actually exists. But you can find all the show notes for that at banthafodder.fm/episodes/14.
You can find us on Twitter collectively at banthafodderfm, or each one of us at our respective names, Mike Comete or at Jacob Tender.
Yeah, hit us up, talk Star Wars, and we'll talk to you next time.
We'll catch you
on the flippies.
Don't say that. All right, bye.
Alden
Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich.
Say it correctly, yeah?
Ehrenreich. Upton Gutenstein.